Welcome to the Private Practice Made Perfect podcast with me, Kathy Love. I'm a business coach who helps allied health professionals run powerful and profitable businesses in the disability sector. Join me for cutting-edge interviews with leaders in the allied health and business fields, along with plenty of practical content that you can use to make your business practice perfect. Hello, everybody. Our guest today on the Private Practice Made Perfect podcast is Chris Smith, otherwise known as Christopher Smith. He's the founding CEO of Happy HR. And when I just asked him what he wanted to be, how he wanted to be introduced, he said, oh, you know, just making all your HR dreams come true. So welcome.
Thank you for having me today. Thank you.
Pleasure, pleasure. Now, I know what Happy HR is, and I know quite a few listeners do. Give us a little bit of a nutshell. What is it all about?
Absolutely. Happy HR is, or has been created to, you know, make HR easy and, in a way, designed to make sure that people never have to worry about HR again. And the way that we do that is providing people with a platform that's intuitive and easy to use, that does provide you with contract, HR policy, employee compliance. But on the same flip side, we offer people HR support services. So if they need, they've got a question or an anxiety, they've got a professional qualified consultant that they can call. So we really, truly do have you back. And we have other services like recruitment and other to help people find great staff.
We've talked about this before, and I hear all sorts of HR, let's just call them horror stories, about people reusing their friends' contracts and not having policies and procedures in place, or not having done due diligence on sending workers off into the community to be provide services. They're some of the biggest ones that I hear about, and I don't know if it's ignorance or willful ignorance. What are the mistakes you hear that business owners make?
Well, I think let's start with the small business. So they're an expert in what they do, and you know, in your case, you know, allied health professionals and other, and they are starting their business and they're learning about business sometimes, and they're not really sure on what they need, and they're trying to save a buck. So you're right, they use an old contract or take one off the rip one off the internet or get one from a friend. It doesn't necessarily mean that commercially and or in line with the Fair Work Act that's going to protect them. So when someone steals a client or does all these things, it actually ends up that they've got no standing because the contract wasn't right. And other things is not having an effective HR framework. So essentially, people not really understanding what ROI or what activity they actually need from their staff. So not having position descriptions and these types of things means that their staff are like boats in the water. They're just floating there, not really going anywhere, a bit rudderless. And because of that, they get a lower return on investment with their staff. Their staff aren't as accountable or as engaged, which is worse. And in the end, they end up, either that person leaves, which costs them money, or they stay and they're unproductive, but they generally have to end up having more staff to do something that less staff can do because they don't have their KPIs and or systems in place. HR is the cornerstone of that. There's a lot of horror stories you can talk about, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's about having a HR framework that's suited to you. In regards to medium and large businesses, businesses that are medium-sized start to create silos and cultures of that department versus that department. So having communication frameworks and policies that enable people to talk and collaborate and communicate, that's important. So that's where they tend to fail. So there's different sized businesses, you know, the bigger the business, the bigger the problems, like children in some ways.
Yeah. So how does Happy, look, we'll just describe Happy HR. I mean, I could describe it as beautiful and elegant and online and agile and all of those other things with lots of yellow, which is always a good thing. How would you describe it?
Well, I think the journey of Happy HR has been one that's been truly aligned to our clients and how our client base has changed. And we're very receptive to what their needs are. We started with Happy HR version one, basic system, basic HR compliance, contracts, policies, and not a lot more. And then we really thought about you know, what our clients wanted. We actually exploded and we're dealing with 70 plus industries. And what we've done, we've said, you know what, we want to be able to do HR end to end. So essentially, we've got you covered from recruitment, and you can advertise on our portal and attract great talent, interview them, do proper reference check, do Vivo check, invite them in 90 seconds. They do an online check-in where they review their, they add their payroll details in you. They review their contracts and policies and position description all before their first day at work. It pushes their details into accounting softwares like Xero, MyOb, KeyPay, QuickBooks, so forth, as well as other rostering programs. And then it allows you to onboard them to performance management, training, learning development, messaging, employee trophies and awards and so much more, all from one intuitive platform. But through that whole process, we hold someone's hand. So they get a dedicated HR professional that sets them up, so we absolutely guarantee that they are, their system's configured perfectly for them. And then on the flip side to that, they have a HR manager that they can call. So essentially they become a default HR manager. So you might call them about a redundancy or an employee who's being a bit disruptive, or you're being asked a question about pay rises, or you've got someone you want to pay for training, but if they leave, you want to be able to call that back. And every other question you could possibly think, you've got now someone who can give you factual general advice on how to manage those situations. So you never end up in hot water. Our team is extremely well structured, and they're all whole bachelors of HR. So you just have a question or query, they're there and they've got your back. So it's about this relationship moving forward, so you have got your house in order. That's a really great product.
My belief is that no business is ever too small to not have great HR set up. And people listening might be thinking, oh, I'm not ready for that yet, or I'm not big enough, or heaven forbid, I can't afford it. For me, it's you can't afford not to. How can you kind of help business owners understand that as soon as they're engaging, employing, contracting anyone, that they need this kind of backstop?
Absolutely. Look, a lot of people, let's face it, HR can play second fiddle to many small businesses. Unfortunately, when you are starting out, it's actually some of the biggest decisions you'll make. You just don't realize it at the time. When you look
until
back,
they go wrong, until they start to go a little bit wrong.
Mm-hmm. So it's important to recognize that back in the day, this was a really cost ineffective thing, go to a lawyer, go to a HR consultant. This cost thousands and people could not afford that, right? And so they put on the back burner and then they got into trouble. What I love about software as a service and a product like ours that actually comes with legitimate qualified support based in our Melbourne Docklands office is for a very low fee per month, you can actually get what I'm talking about. So putting the finance thing aside for the very first time, it is important, and I can't stress enough, that if you're employing an employee, where we go right with our clients is we set you up properly. Contracts, we restrain a trade, clawback clauses, someone's going to steal the client, we cover you there. Policies that are reflective of your business. And you say to yourself, hang on, I am like this. This is how I want to run my business. So I'm going to create policies that create great customer experiences and such. So these policies need to be part of your journey. And then on top of that, you need to write position descriptions that are also aligned to your business's goals. So if the accountability is not there, don't expect accountability. So they're basic things. There's more, but getting that right from the start is important, because I can't, as a recruitment professional as well, when you are interviewing, and we have an interview process in Happy HR that asks you to ask questions about attitude, core competency, integrity, behaviors. If you ask those questions, you'll interview better, I promise you. But on top of that, when you onboard them through a proper onboard checklist and a proper process, means that you can see, do they know what they're doing? Or do you need to do some training, which you can do in Happy HR? Or do you need to create a development plan, meaning that you get people on board, they know that you're there to help to develop it, so they understand your way, your processes, your systems. And then on the flip side to that, they then net you a faster ROI because they actually know what they're doing. So whether you got one employee or 10, I can't stress get your HR right, because the fee of Happy HR being from $50 a month, that's nothing but a cost of a mishire. That's going to cost you a lot of money. Yeah. And our team is there to guide you through all the things that I've just said. So tell us about how to recruit better. Tell us how to actually onboard better. What sort of checklist looks right for me? So we guide our clients through that so you know you're getting that support. The key is that we help people recruit better. They don't get mishires. Their businesses are now able to grow and thrive because they're making good best practice selections in your employees. So when you do onboard and onboard the next one, you actually get to a point where you've got a core group of employees that actually know what they're doing, the culture's right, they're engaged, everyone's getting the benefit. And at the end of the day, your client's benefit because there's the same person they go and see. So this is a very important thing for a small business to get right.
Yeah. I would add to that the process of reversing the willful ignorance around this and the process of personal learning for your own leadership skills, but also the personal learning associated with business management and 101 compliance with being an employer. And it can be quite hard to find that information and make it relevant for you and kind of get that lovely staged approach about what it is to be a leader and an employer. And the onboarding process that you guys have really steps people through. And some of the feedback I've heard is that, oh, now I know where to learn all of this stuff. Now I'm starting to understand the terminology. I'm feeling a little less anxious about building the team now. You and I have spoken in the past that the huge commitment of bringing in that first employee stops businesses from growing because there's just so much fear and worry around the whole thing.
Absolutely. Look, we had a client the other day, allied health professional in speech pathology, taking on their first employee. And they were doing the due diligence, looking at us and other platforms. And they've chosen us for a very good reason. A, the platform was exactly end-to-end. They wanted that. They want to create it. They want to open up a couple of practices. They're really keen on how do they do that well. But the key to them is you don't know what you don't know. And the platform does many things once you learn the platform, which is easy, but put that aside. To be able to get thought leadership on how to be, like you just put it on the line there, being a better leader. How do I be a better leader? How do I actually train my staff? How do I actually have conversations with them about what I need them to do and how which they need to do it and so on and so forth? How do I form a collaboration around communication and these things? The platform allows that to happen naturally. So it means that you are not only better educated on how to eliminate mishires in your business, but actually how to actually get that ROI. And that's incredibly important.
Yeah, yeah. You mentioned the magic three letters a few minutes ago, KPIs. Mm-hmm. I get asked pretty often, well, what are KPIs for a practice manager? What are KPIs for an OT? And I don't know that anyone's particularly happy with my answer. It depends. Yeah. It depends on what you want them to be. It depends what's worked in the past. Yeah. It depends what you don't want them doing. It depends on what level of performance you want and how quickly and how consistently. So could you give us a little bit of a KPI 101 in terms of why they're important and how to set them?
Absolutely. Look, KPIs, for a lot of people, it's a dirty word. And let's maybe mind map. So whether you're watching this or whether you're listening in the car.
How are you going to do a mind map on a podcast?
Now, I'll show you.
So you'll manage. Yep.
No, absolutely. So I just want you to imagine an A4 piece of paper and I want you to draw a line through the middle of it. So the left-hand side is a PI, which is a performance indicator, and the right-hand side is an MPI, which is a measurement of performance indicator. Now, essentially in your business, you've taken the step to be an entrepreneur and start your own practice. So you'll have goals and dreams just like anybody. So essentially what you've got is a strategic goal, being that you want to grow your company, you want to build your practice to a point that you're working 2 days a week because you've got a family or whatever it might be. Everyone's got strategic goals they want to achieve.
Lifestyle goals.
Absolutely. And I put it around lifestyle because that's highly motivating to an entrepreneur. Second part is operationally. What systems do I use? How do I manage my clients? How do I communicate with my clients? What's my processes and procedures around how I run my practice? And essentially from there, financial goals, again, pegged to lifestyle. How much money do I need to make to get the best staff, to pay them well? How much money do I need to make to have the right systems in regards to marketing, aka accounting softwares, aka CRMs, whatever it might be, so you're getting the right financial return. Now, you'll put a range of measurements around that. And essentially what you do is you develop an operational baseline. So those KPIs or goals around strategic, operation, financial, they need to be measurable. So what you do is you write at the start a list of all of the performance indicators and, in fact, how you're going to measure them. So you, it's not about particular role at this point. It's just things you want done to achieve your strategic operational financial goals. So you end up with a bunch of performance indicators with measurements of performance that this is what I need, but this is how I'm going to measure that in my business. If you don't know how to measure it, you need to figure out how you are, because that eliminates the gray, which eliminates disengagement. Yeah. So it's very important. From there, you then assign...
Back to the performance indicators, they can be alarmingly obvious, like billable activity per day.
Yeah.
There could be some measurables around customer service in terms of returning calls or emails. They can be things that people already, that can be measured,
Yeah, absolutely. So anything that you feel that helps you to achieve any strategic goals, operational goals, financial goals, customer service goals, marketing goals, the amount of time that people spend with clients, the percentage of those that are allowed to go over because you are providing that higher level of service, whatever that might be.
These phone calls to referrers.
Correct, all that stuff. All that stuff is important for your particular industry. So you end up with a whole list of performance indicators and measurements of performance. Then what happens from there is you assign that performance indicator to the roles or people you have in your company. So you know now that somebody is actually responsible for that particular metrics or measurement. Now, once you've got all those performance indicators and measurements of performance in KPIs or position descriptions, then what you can do is say, right, is this person got the ability to do this? If they've got the ability, awesome, assign it. If they don't, hold on to that before you can reassign it, or train someone first in it before you reassign, because that's a choice that you'll make. But by doing that, you end up with position descriptions that are not just relevant, but they're actually aligned to you achieving your goals. Now, as long as these measurements of performance are actually achievable, you'll get to the goals you want to achieve. And by doing that, you have a better business, happier staff, no gray areas, and knowing exactly how you're going to measure and monitor your business. So that's what our consultants do. We help draw that information out of you, make sure that people are aware of it, and make sure that your business is going to be in a better financial, operational, strategic pathway going forward. Our team, we've not met directors yet that like to do this. That's why we work with you guys to massage it, so you don't have to. And that's one of the very many benefits from the setup process.
It has to leap off the document though, and an inspired leader is going to be looking at those reports of those measurables daily, weekly, fortnightly, monthly. And just because it's there, you can't abdicate the performance. And you've got to have systems, and you might even be able to delegate who brings you the reports, but you have to know which reports and be really specific. You have to look at them. And then there's the really tough bit that if they're not being met, you've got to do something about it.
Exactly right. One thing that I love about Happy HR, and where many, many people give us a lot of feedback on, and that is when you've got in the system having a performance indicator and a measured performance, they are so important to get right, because in our system, that's how you performance manage people going forward. So in our system, what's great is you go to select the performance appraisal. You want them to do maybe a self-appraisal on themselves. You go into a meeting knowing what the results are. So you send out a performance appraisal. They can see that they're going to give you an answer to how they feel they're going to their KPIs. They give you an answer. So before you go into the meeting for performance appraisal, they've actually got that, you've got that information, you've seen it, you can come up with a strategy. Sometimes clients will call us and say, hey, I've got an employee, they've done a self-appraisal, I need them to be here. They think that they're actually here. How do I have that conversation about helping them to understand that maybe they're not doing as good a job as possible and so forth? So we work with the clients with getting their performance appraisals right, and that's why the performance indicators on the position descriptions are so important. So we do, in fact, performance manage. It's actually something that's being pre-agreed, and that's essentially where funneling people into where the business is needing to head.
Yeah, and all of that being cloud-based and all of the notes attached to those documents and meetings are all recorded, and there's different levels of access, isn't there?
So
as the business owner, you've got your own level of access and you can keep that as the hub for all your notes.
Yeah, a lot of people, part of our service has been growing quite a bit is directors going, right, I've managed it to a point, but I've realised that I'm probably more focused on the business than I want to dedicate time to my people. But there's a manager that's emerged as being really just tactical and really great with stuff. So you can actually give managers rights to that person, and then they can be trained on how to do the performance appraisals correctly and engaging. And we work with our clients on that. So now the manager or the owner can see what's going on, the manager's managing that. So that's really seamless and so streamlined. And that's been, especially this year, it's been an explosion in that because they know what they're good at, they know what they're not good at. It's great to recognize that. And now the manager's doing that and this report or managing up, as I refer to it, and that's working quite well.
I'm a huge fan of building out a leadership team.
It's very important, absolutely. Yeah. The system allows you to do that, which I love, and our clients do too, I will say. They give us a lot of good feedback, which I'm very proud of.
Happy HR also works equally awesomely for businesses that have independent contractors and those that have casual employees and part-time and full-time employees, doesn't it? But all of that stuff gets set up right at the start.
It does. And many clients, you know, we help them to understand it. Right now they might be taking on their first full-time employee, but they have a plan to maybe take on a subcontractor just to dip their toes in the waters there. That can happen. So when we're doing that setup, we make sure they're full-time, casual, part-time, fixed term, and maybe even volunteer contractors for work experience or interns. And your space, that's quite large.
Everyone forgets that.
Right. So we set all that up right from the start. So you know that your policies are bang on. But on the flip side to that, we have a section in our system that is two situations that your clients and people listening to this would definitely recognize. The first part is subcontractors. So you've got subcontractors which you're paying an ABN to, and as a true subcontractor, they come in, they get paid for a half day, full day, whatever it might be. They're paid to a project scope. They invoice the business and the business pays them and so forth. Be careful there because there's, you've got to be careful with sharing contracts. If they're billing 80% or more, you need to get advice around whether they need super or not and so forth. Also, on the flip side of Allied Health, which we see a lot of, is the consultant contract. And you go, what does that mean? So that might mean that you've got a consulting practice and you've got a room that you rent out by an administration fee, but you share in the revenue of that room. So our system and system can actually track that.
Oh, I forgot that.
So what it does, it means that you can manage those percentage-based relationships as well. Another thing we recommend to clients is in your space, it's quite easy to steal clients, especially if a relationship goes bad. Yes, our contracts have restraint of trade, which you would expect and want in a business like yours. I really can say definitely need that. But another way to create a positive exit is these clawback clauses. Now, what can happen is you might say, you want to take client A, no problem. I'm going to sell you client A as an example. And it's going to come at a multiple, say 1.8 times the GP of that particular client over the last 12 months. And you can say, yes, you can take client A. Here's the cost associated with that. That way, if they do depart and they build a good relationship and they want to continue that relationship with that client, they don't just steal the client. It comes at a value and you sell that client. And that way that you get something for the efforts of that, but they're not stealing the client from you. Those things are certainly growing in the allied health space. And if you guys need any advice around that, it's something you need to tailor particular to a business and your needs. But certainly I'm seeing a lot more of that going forward. You don't essentially own a client in your space, but you do because you met that client through your practice. So you need to work out the best practical and professional approach by that, and that works quite well.
I describe it as owning all of the effort gone into acquiring and providing service to that client. The client, yes, of course, has their own free will.
Yes.
But you have the history of the effort,
yes,
to get them on your books.
Correct.
And that, I think it's important that that's acknowledged.
Yep, absolutely. It has a value and should be acknowledged. Cool. And that way, if you have restraint of trade or clawback, you kind of cover both ways. So they say, I'm not buying from them, they still steal from you. Then you've got a defendable position to go back to them with.
Yeah. How does... I don't really know the answer to this. I'm really keen for the answer. What I'm encouraging a lot of my clients to be working on is a career pathway for their clinicians. You, as anyone would know, how tough the recruiting market is in allied health right now, and it's not about to get any easier for like the next 10 years of ever. And so there are early career clinicians coming in and staying for a little while and then butterflying off somewhere else. And then there's some mature practitioners who might have had their own businesses and, you know, closed them, but they want responsibility and a leadership role. But what I don't always hear a whole lot about is a really cool framework that really supports early career right through all the stages to that leadership team that I talked about. What are your thoughts on that, and how does Happy HR support that?
So there's a couple strategies that you can do with career development. So essentially, you know, it's not easy to make yourself redundant in a business, and you probably won't. Some of your guys might not ever achieve that, but they certainly will achieve the ability to manage down and have your people manage up. So you just do what you do and the rest of the business takes care of itself because you've got a practice manager or whatever it might be. So there's two parts to it. First of all, you're 100% right. Like, more people I speak to in your space, they think that sometimes it's a privilege to work for them. No, it's not. It's a job to these young Gen Y millennials and so forth. They want to know that there's room for opportunity for growth. So you can step out what you want to teach them in a 24-month period and say, in the next 24 months, I'm going to set up 4 development plans every 6 months. These are the skill sets that I'm going to teach you on. I'm going to assess you. I'm going to train you. And I'm going to help you to actually genuinely acquire these skills, okay? So if you set up, you've got a job description, which is one, or position description. You got your contracts, you got your policies, but in Happy HR, you've got a training plan. The training plan is specifically designed around, let's say, young clinician, okay, or someone who's 1 year out, graduate, whatever. So you've got all this set up before you hire someone. Then you decide that you're going to go out and hire a young grad or whatever it might be. So you go through the job process trying to find someone, and you find someone. Now, let's be serious. If they're any good, they've got their choice of 3 or 4 jobs, no question.
Now, and they're negotiating the pay across all of them. It's very cool. Yeah,
exactly right. So who are they actually going to join? Stop and think for a second. We were all young once. I remember starting out my career, and I'm a go-getter, and I always wanted to look for a mentor. What was important to me would be very different to someone else. Some people are focused on cash. I've always been focused on being mentored. That's just the way I'm wired. I want to learn. I never stop learning. I still love it now, right? So most people give these young kids a very bad rap. They're looking for cash. Yes, they are, but they are looking for a mentor. So if you say to them, thanks for, you know, you're doing questions around a structured interview, around attitude, core competency, integrity, and behaviors, and then you tell them about an actual day in the life of at your practice, and you can talk to them about how you've developed a 24-month training plan to turn them into an absolute gun. And they really will look at that and go, I'm all in, because you actually can demonstrate to me that you've got your house in order and you are actually going to take care of me. So Happy HR becomes that recruitment tool. You guys don't realize it yet, but these guys are, yes, they want money, but they are certainly looking for a mentor. Now, they will be in a process that they've been disappointed at their part-time job. They've been disappointed during their internships. They've been disappointed because people in HR disappoint. Why? They promise something and they don't deliver. So when they go to getting a job, they're even more desperate to find someone that's at that level. So what's important with that is to demonstrate that you're actually going to do what you say you're going to do. And by showing them happy HR and the training plans, they go, okay, I believe you. And you know what? I'm in. So that way you can get a great relationship from the start. So when they go home and talk to their family and say, hey, I'm going to join this practice, and they go, does it tie to your own mission, vision, values? Does it tie back to your goals? And you can go forward from there. And if it does, that way you've got this great relationship from the start. So day one, they go through an onboarding checklist and they start. You can say, right, day one, let's plan this. Let's put these things in place. And they're like, you said you're going to do this, and you are. Now I'm really engaged because you've said to me we're going to set up development plans, and that's exactly what we're going to do, and we are, which is brilliant.
Add to that a super, super cool and sophisticated onboarding program, and you are starting to stand out and to really nail the employer value proposition, I reckon.
It's critical. And if, I'll tell you now, we've been extremely successful with recruiting for clients in your space because we work with them to get their house in order. And I can tell you now, and they've saying this quite often to me now, is, geez, you know what? I reckon I would have struggled to have hired little Sally or little Johnny. And because they've got their house in order, they've been successful in their recruitment, and they were the one that was like a springboard for them. They're actually going out and they're growing. They can trust. They can manage down. That person manages up. They've got the cognitive ability to learn and grow and thrive and prosper. Because they've hired well, their business thrives and their customers are happy. You know, I cannot understate the power of this. It really is very important.
And that gives us a bit of a springboard into retention. So you don't want to be recruiting too often. Ideally, you're wanting to keep your wonderful team happy and engaged and busy and kind of future focused. So the training plans are good. And as I understand it, business owners can actually upload their own policies and procedures and their own kind of training programs up there as well. So it's a place of you know, collective information for everybody in the business and their own trajectories.
Exactly right. And one thing on that as well is when you are putting these things in place and you go and hire someone, you know it wasn't you. If you hired poorly, you just hired poorly. You thought it'd be great and it didn't work out, but it wasn't actually on you because you put the plan in place. What I think people need to know, and someone asked me the other day in another podcast I was being interviewed for, and they said to me, what's your take of recruitment, Chris, in today's market? And I said, well, you have the HR framework in place. You know that you're giving yourself the very best chance. Sometimes you'll make a bad decision and make a bad hire. That can happen, right? But don't beat yourself up. You know, hiring is guessing and firing is knowing. And if you've got the process in place, you know that you actually hired, you onboarded them correctly, they were just the wrong hire. And if you can hold your head up high with that, you can then learn from your interview process and whether there's any bias interviewing or whatever, and that way you can improve your interview process. But when they got onboarded, that process didn't let you down. So when someone gets a mishire and they go, look, I hired someone, Chris, I went through Seek and I found someone and I hired the wrong person, can I get advice on what do you think I did wrong? Now, that's a great conversation to have with a client. Say, no problem. Tell me about your process. And I can identify very quickly, okay, this is what you did wrong. This is why it actually went the way it did. You need to really look at the actual process going forward and ensure that you have your interview processes done in this way going forward. And stuff they didn't even realize that they were doing. And when they do their next hire, they're acutely aware of that. Sometimes we do coaching face-to-face like we are with Zoom or other, and that way though we eliminate those mishires, which is very exciting.
Yeah. And then there's the bit about hoping people improve when in fact you should be freeing up their future. Do you see that sometimes people hold on to people longer than they should because they're a little unsure or uncertain how to exit? correctly?
Yeah, I think, look, you got to be honest and you got to say to yourself, first of all, let's go back to the start. Did you sell them the dream and tell them it's going to be this, but it was actually this, right? Mm. Or this or that. Now, if you got that wrong, you got to be honest and say, look, I needed you to do a job, but I actually got the job wrong and I oversold you the role and I've now realized my error. This is what I need you to do. And that person might be well happy to do that new role or clarification of that role. Mm. And if that's okay, it can end up quite well. If it isn't, they might choose to exit at that point because it wasn't for them. But now you know how to hire better to the role going forward. And I see that happening in Allied Health quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's the first part. Second part is because you've worked, and let's be clear on this, because you've worked with a professional to get the KPIs right in the first place, and they are fair and reasonable, and they have signed up to those KPIs, and you've done training around those KPIs so they actually do know, and they've demonstrated to you during the onboard process that they actually understand it and they actually have the skill set, but they're not doing because they're either lazy or they're not following process or whatever it might be. You can then have a performance of discussion, whether it might be purely development, A, you need to train them better, or B, lack of performance, they're just not getting it, that's performance improvement, or C, I don't want to do it. You know, they've got a bit of a bad attitude all of a sudden. That's a behavioral improvement. So there's three ways in which the performance manager, you can choose which way is what, but if you train them and they keep not doing it, then it's behavioral performance. If you do a performance improvement plan or behavioral improvement plan, then you take them through a process of, you know, a SMART goal, specific, measurable, action-orientated, realistic and time-bound, which our system does. You do the training, qualify it, they know how to do it. If they still aren't doing it, you reassess them or you do a serious disciplinary action and move them on. Now, a lot of people get very nervous about this. So this is where Happy HR gets involved to say, right, if you need to terminate post-probationary period and everything else and you need to do this lawfully, we work with the client to make sure that, A, we're doing everything we can to get that person across the line and make sure that they are going to perform at the best level. But if they legitimately are not doing that and you have to terminate, at least you've got a performance improvement process that you have in fact followed and can diligently show that you have followed. So if you terminate, there's no risk of a Fair Work claim because you've done the right thing. Now, the thing that we do there is ensuring that that person has been treated with respect. They know if they are being terminated, the jig is actually up. So we've done many, many of these over the journey and never ends up in Fair Work because we respect the employee, respect the employer. We make sure it's very clear and accessible and attainable. If the employee's not doing it, then you have to go through that process of disciplinary action and exiting.
And you absolutely need an HR specialist in your corner through that whole process.
Yeah, I think a lot of people think that they can do it. It's not easy. Actually last week we had a lot of grievances last week, and the reason for that was
full moon.
But also in the financial year drinks,
yeah,
and yeah. People doing some interesting things, and so we've managed that process with clients. I can tell you now that many of those would have gone absolutely pear-shaped. I'm really proud of the team's performance through those processes. We've resolved every single one in line with the requirements in the Act. Obviously, you've got so people think they can just sit on their hands, but you've got 5 days, you've got to deal with this. You've got to work quickly. You've got to make sure someone's not in a difficult position at work, blah, blah, blah. So be able to manage all those and sort that out was very, very good. We've done a very good job, but it takes some very strategic and critical thinking that, with all due respect to directors, they should be offboarding that to a professional business to make sure they don't do the wrong thing. It is a very slippery slope.
Yeah.
And man, we've earned our dollars last week, I've got to tell you. But I'm proud to have done that because the employee's happy, someone's been disciplined in line with the Act, and there's no Fair Work claim, work cover claim, work safe claim. It's been dealt with efficiently, correctly. Warnings are being given. People are happy. They feel confidently it's been resolved, and we'll go back and check those and ensure that feeling continues. So very important.
Yeah. What can you tell us about the Happy HR team, other than it's growing exponentially?
Yeah.
What are you guys like behind the scenes?
You know what? Like every business, like I'll be up and down. Like when we started our company, I had to discover what I wanted my company to be. And we, you know, were trying to do the right thing about hiring well and setting up these systems great and all that. We really wanted to make sure we developed that culture. Two key people in our business, Julian in sales, but I call him more of an educator and someone who really works well with our clients to say, I'm not interested at all in selling our product to you unless it's right. So Julian fosters that team to make sure they are educators. They're first and foremost are doing the right thing by clients. Do we want to sell our product? Yes. But the team knows to educate and support and ensure that if you're comfortable with us being an HR partner, you know everything that we're going to do. So your expectation is set up front so you get a great experience. On a HR services side, it's led by Kim Ong. We've got a great team there. They, again, are educated around going through that induction process, making sure people are bedded into the software, making sure it's customized to their needs, and then their support mechanism going forward. So it's really about, I'm not stepping away, but I'm sort of sitting there at the top now, giving these guys opportunities to grow and ensuring that they're running their teams in line with our mission, vision, and values. We have values-based KPIs in our business and volunteer-based KPIs and so forth that we create a culture of collaboration, accountability, challenging each other, and so forth. So it's really about creating a happy team, but also an accountable team. And my job is to try and be the best CEO I can, driving the product development, listening to our clients and say, geez, I love this feature. Can it have this? Boom, wireframe it, develop it, test it, launch it. Bang, you've got that new feature. So we're constantly developing our product. So I'm more product management and working on the recruitment side and basically being that educator to our clients, as well as we've got our HR team and the sales team. And by doing that, we're growing them all slowly, methodically, getting the right people in and people that know we're legitimately here to service our clients. We've got a value. It's about creating a wow moment. And we use each contact with your client to create an endearing, positive relationship. Now, think about that as a KPI. So we ask, right, this quarter, how have you done that for our clients legitimately? So that's what we're trying to instill in the way that every process is how to create a wow moment, how to recreate a wow moment. And that's what we love.
Oh, sounds wonderful. What is Happy HR going to look like in the next couple of years?
I'll be old and gray by then. Yeah. To be honest with you, we've got a pretty significant roadmap. I have got a range of new modules that we are launching later in the year that I think will be really great for, that will rival some of the biggest softwares in the world. We are now seen as a market leader proudly. When we go against any competitor, we'll win 90% of those deals. So I'm really confident in our features and benefits and our service mix. However, I'm not a guy that sits in their laurels. We've got lots of new features. We have got a global expansion plan ready to go. We'll refactor our databases to take care of the nuances of those particular countries, which is exciting.
Mm.
And then just grow the way that we are, you know, trying to recruit and onboard and create an A-grade team. That's always important. But just make sure that, you know, we don't lose track of where we've come from. Like even today, I've been speaking to clients, they've got 3 staff. People go, CEO Chris, why do you bother? Why are you doing that? It's like me, it's like that's where I get the gold. If I'm speaking to you about how's your experience been, tell me what you've enjoyed. Tell me what you think could have been improved and so forth. It means that as we continue to grow and develop, I can stamp anything out, create new work, user experiences and wireframes and user interaction with the site to just eliminate any areas of concern. And that then thus turns it into an even better product. I think CEOs, they think that they sit there standing at the tree. Yes, I've got my duties as CEO, but but you'll see me regularly on the phone. I'm talking on an hourly basis with clients because I'm really very focused on creating a bloody good product, and every single journey that any client goes through, any industry, any situation, our platform and our HR services team can map and manage. And I have to say, we're doing that. We're achieving that now. So what I've got planned is only going to be unbelievable in the future. So I'm pretty excited, I must say.
Make sure you come back and tell us.
I definitely will.
Yeah, make sure you come back and tell us. Thanks, Chris. Absolutely wonderful as always.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. If anyone's got any questions or queries, don't hesitate to go to happyhr.com. You can book a invite, book in a demo via Calendly, book in one of our technical consultants, and we can take you for free. If anyone has got any HR advice and they're concerned, there's a lot of press about at the moment about wrongful payments to employees and so forth. If you're a bit scared, and I understand you might be scared, don't be. It's about, let's just deal with it, head on, solve it, so you can sleep better knowing you got your house in order. And that's our take on HR.
Yeah. Don't panic, plan.
Exactly right.
All righty, come back and give us an update in a little while. That'll be great to be able to share it with listeners.
Thanks for your time today. Thank you.
Sweet.
Bye.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Private Practice Made Perfect podcast. For show notes and other resources, please visit practicemadeperfectpodcast.com. While you are there, you can subscribe for future episodes and continue your business adventure with me. And please be sure to share this and other episodes with your friends and colleagues.